Yes.
You don't expect it.
What color is the wall? I want a yes or no answer.
What color is this wall right now?
Yes or no.
All right. We've had a recess and a little fun and call our meeting back to order. James is gone after. And
James, before you start, can I ask you a question, James?
Sure.
Under the assessor statutes, if you have a taxpayer who does not fill out a form and or fills it out incorrectly, isn't there statutes that you can physically file suit and go after the taxpayer?
Yes, but the collection side of this one is, I think, where it would have to be filed. I don't believe this is the assessor side.
Well, if I'm
but we can file it under a double taxation for anything that we can prove that somebody...
If you felt like the forms were filled out incorrectly, you could work with our attorney and file a suit.
Actually, you could have them prosecuted for fraud if they intentionally filled out the forms.
So that's the avenue which, if on the other personal property, that may or may not be on the form.
That's correct. But right here, January 1, 2010. The titles that are in his name consist of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 vehicles and boats.
He added from 2009, based on January 1st, he added 4 vehicles
for
between 9 and 10.
But I thought you were going after previous years. You're talking about 2000.
And here's 8.
Okay, in 8 he had the same thing. And in 7 he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 titles in his name as of January 1, 2007. As of January 1, 2008, he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 titles in his name.
Did he fill out a form?
Not for 8 and 9. In 2009, he had sold evidently some, and he's down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 vehicles in his name. This is from the Missouri Department of Revenue.
Did he include all those on the form he filled out here in September?
No. He just, 10 says he had in his name 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and he put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. And is this the form that you give to people?
Yeah.
Doesn't it say on here
and he
somewhere?
He signed that.
He signed it, and it says the personal property list is to be completed for property owned on January 1st, 2010. It's be returned to the assessor's office by March 1st. If you need assistance, let's see, failure to deliver list by March 1st is subject to a penalty under 137.280 through 137.345. And false list returned with intent to defraud may result in double assessment and punishment for perjury under 137.285. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And also, though, on some of these that you're saying, I'd like to read the ones off in 07, if you don't mind. But the ones like in that I've just done, I was also told I purchased them this year, and then I've already got rid of them, that I don't need to even pay taxes on them, which doesn't make much sense to me, but that's what I was told by the assessor's office.
Well, I guess the question is, all we're here to discuss is...
The mobile home.
The mobile home. And we can't go back and add all these vehicles to his 07, correct, Bob? I mean, we can't go back 2 years.
I don't know whether we can or not. We may not be able to. I'm not sure without looking. But I'm not sure whether he can be prosecuted for perjury and all that sort of thing for filling out a false list. I don't know what the statute of limitations is without looking.
I thought it was because I never filled out a list that was the problem. Not that I filled out a false one, because I hadn't paid my taxes in 05 and 06.
Well, you filled one out in September, just now, I think.
Yes. Brought all this to the assessor's office, and that's who I discussed with at the assessor's office of what I needed to place on there.
But you're right, the abatement itself has to do with the mobile home.
Jim, you asked the question, what can we do? Who is we? Are you talking about... assessor and the...
Well, it seems
are you
like...
talking about the commission? Or are you talking about the commission?
The commission. All we're here to do is abate either yes or no on the mobile home. That's really... that's an entire discussion. Is that correct?
That's why I'm saying when you say we, what you meant, the assessor
yeah.
would be the one to go look and see about things that haven't supposedly been put down.
Correct. We mean the assessor.
That's not the county commission.
No, the assessor needs to.
Yeah, but I think, Mr. Presiding Commissioner, you asked if he could pay 07s or somebody did and make this okay. That's not the case. He has to pay up current to get his tags.
Which is 07.
And to pay up current, it's not 07, sir. This is 2010. You've got 3 years you've got to pay on beside, or 2 years besides 07 to be up and current. The 07s is not the one holding you up.
And I have discussed that with,
right?
And I have nothing on 08 or 09.
Okay. Well, I don't think, if I'm right, the county commission doesn't want to get in that because it's not our responsibility or duty to do that. If you decide, James, that he has not put down things that he owned in 09, 08, 07, whatever the case, what will you do? I mean, will those go...
We'll write immediate bills and send them through to the collector. Those have to be paid before he...
Will they be, where I'm headed, will those be for 09, 010? Will they be 08 bills?
We've got 10 took care of.
Okay.
Have to write up 08 and 09 bills.
Those will be 08 and 09 bills.
So you can go back, is my point, and write an 08 bill or an 07 bill?
And 09. I can go back 3 years according to statute.
I did not own nothing in 08 or 09. And you still haven't told me what I owned, what you're reading off. I haven't owned any property.
Well, Chris, what I'm seeing is that's an issue between
you and
the assessor.
Well, and the other thing is...
The mobile home, which Jim keeps bringing us back to, is the point that you're sitting or standing before us today, is the county commission has the responsibility, if this wasn't yours, to abate it. Am I right?
That's what you're being asked to do. That's the only thing you're being asked to do today.
And these other issues, we don't have the power or the responsibility to do that. Is that correct? Am I on the right page?
I don't think it's a matter of discussion for us at this point.
You will be setting precedent.
How
that's
true.
We have many mobile homes under the same that's been reeled off because they haven't paid. Am I saying this correct? Where'd my chief executive go? No, that's fine. I just know there's many a time these mobile homes cannot be tied.
That's not this current issue.
Oh.
But the issue there, to go back to Jim and what we've been saying recently, from what Bob, if I understand right, if the mobile home is titled in someone else's name, belongs to somebody else, then we have the ability, responsibility to take it off.
Yes, Larry, you do.
You have the responsibility as the assessor to put it on the right owner.
Very unfairly, you have the responsibility to take it off. Unfair to the other taxpaying citizens of this county.
How is that unfair?
They pay it.
I understand your point, James. What he's saying, just for FYI, is if one taxpayer gets by without paying his taxes, in a long roundabout way, everybody else has to make up that difference.
Well, my question then.
It's a small amount when you spread it out over thousands. But to James' point, for fun, just a little bit of fun here in the middle of the serious thing, I mean, I agree with James on this. When somebody gets away without paying their taxes that are due, then that makes a little bit, that load has to go on everybody else. Is that your point, James?
Yes, sir.
But
we don't want people avoiding or getting away without paying their taxes. I think we agree with James on that, all of us.
And I agree with that, too.
So, but again, that's your cup of tea with James. You say you don't own it. He says you do. Y'all are going to have to work that out.
On the mobile home?
Not on the mobile home. We're talking about that other property.
Okay, yeah. But
the
on
mobile home, if it wasn't yours, and I think you've shown it wasn't yours, then we have a responsibility to abate that. James has a responsibility to get it built just like he does your vehicles if he thinks you own vehicles.
But my question is, how did that get on to be on mine if it's clearly in their records, it's in somebody else's name, that I had
to
come to this extreme.
I'm going to pass the buck again.
Okay.
that's not the county commission's responsibility. That's the assessor's responsibility.
Okay. Under Missouri state statute, where the
mobile home park
reports who owned, because there's not titles declaring ownership on, I would be safe in saying 50% of the mobile homes in Taney County does not have titles on them showing ownership.
But that's not my fault.
And so the mobile home park, to cut them some slack, they do a reasonable duty to follow that by saying who they, and if they see you living there, they would maybe assume that it's yours, and so they would turn it into James, and he would tax you. So I can see how I could get on the bill. But you've shown us that it's not yours, so
I don't know. I don't know that you've shown us that.
Well, I just got one question, kind of Bob and James question here. So if we take it off of this, off Chris's form, and basically put it to Ulrich, wouldn't Ulrich want to know if he's got a deed, I mean, a contract for deed? I mean, shouldn't we have the other owner who's going to get the mobile home here?
He'll get it in 10.
Well, what evidence do we have that the mobile home in question is owned by anyone? What evidence do we have that...
Huh? That didn't mean it, though.
Do we have evidence that it's owned by Mr. Ulrich?
Yeah.
Does it say it doesn't have it to his name?
Here,
does
it? Right here. It has the identification.
Look at the form.
This record title is not issued.
The problem we have,
but
Jim...
But there's no title issued on 50% of the trailers.
The problem we're going to have, Jim... is that's we're all of a sudden allowing this gentleman that hadn't paid his taxes since 05 to drag a good, honest citizen in that has paid his taxes every year on time, but now we're putting him in the class of fraud that he didn't turn it in as his ownership. When we had a gentleman right up here not paying his taxes for 5 years and not turning it in to be paid on. So now we're going back to the original owner and say, we're going to punish you. And because you didn't turn it in, do you fall under the same category as this gentleman standing behind this counter? And I don't believe that's correct. I don't believe that's fair. Well, look, you're dragging him into a situation where this gentleman had been proved in another location to pull the same stunt.
No, it wasn't. I had a contract. It's not the same.
James, I follow you on that, but if I own a mobile home and I'm renting it out to somebody, do I not have the responsibility to pay the taxes on that mobile home?
I'll put the question to you. No, you don't. Not under Missouri law. Under Missouri law, the park owners turn those in. If you buy a car, Chuck, and you get a title for that car, you send it out here for parts. You keep it on your place. You should be paying on that car. But you never change the title because it's not, you just keep it in your name, and it might sell again. The title follows that car, but you don't own the car. Do you want me to come back if I find a title like that and tax Chuck Pinnell for a car that might have been sold 3 times without the title transfer?
Let me ask my question again because I'm surprised of your answer. My example is, I know I own it, it's mine, a mobile home, whether I have a title to it or not. I own that mobile home, it's mine. And I rent it to someone to live in a mobile home park. And you're telling me it's not my responsibility to pay the taxes on that mobile home?
No, that's not what happened here.
I'm saying...
It is your responsibility as the owner of the mobile home.
All right.
To rent out a mobile home.
So the gentleman that owns this mobile home should be in the same spot that I am. If he owns it, he should be responsible to pay the taxes.
The circuit court didn't say that in 06, he did the very same thing.
The circuit court in 06, it was a breach of contract action, and I assume that in that contract it said that he was responsible for the taxes, and they found against him that he owed the amount of the taxes to the person that he was buying it from, and I assume that if he got that money, that person should have then paid the taxes. I don't think he did. I don't know if he ever got the money.
I'll wait for a ruling on it, but it goes back to what this is called in Jeff City, personal property throughout the state of Missouri, on the taxpaying This is the honest man's tax, and that's what it's labeled all over the state of Missouri. You guys make your ruling on it.
If the mobile home was titled in this gentleman's name, then he ought to be taxed on it. If you can actually show that there was a bill of sale, even if they didn't switch title, perhaps he could be taxed. But I'd just like to know what evidence there is that he owned the property in that year, if there's evidence that he did, other than the mobile home park owner, I know, sent in a list of the people that have mobile homes in the park. And based on that, you put down that he owned that property, but that's the only evidence that you have that he might own the mobile home.
Yeah, like I say, that goes back to the honest man.
I'm missing something. You guys are talking about a court case. Is that on this mobile home?
No.
The previous 2 years of this contract for deed that he did have in
a
place.
Different mobile home.
It's when he had a contract in that case.
It's one I was purchasing.
Right.
And this one here, I've been renting from my cousin.
Right. Okay. So
big difference.
Sorry, I'm slow following all this. So
that's
that
fine.
First mobile home, did you get out of paying taxes on it?
Yes, he did.
I believe in 05.
Okay.
Yeah,
from what that's showing there.
The reason it was presented is to present a pattern.
It's to show that I didn't pay my taxes.
Actually, I would argue that the person who was selling him the trailer got out of paying the taxes.
Okay.
Actually got a judgment for those taxes, it looks like. And while
not Chris, but the fellow that actually owned it.
And resold it.
He got a judgment against Chris for the amount of the taxes he was supposed to pay and then didn't pay the taxes, it looks like.
The gentleman's already resold it
two
or three times. But I guess if I have one other point is if this was all such an issue about those 2 years that I haven't paid my taxes in 05 and 06, you know, you're making such a big deal of it today. And like you said, it was 6 years ago. But you're bringing it all up today and talking about suing me or whatever else. And, I mean, that's fine. But, you know, my whole thing was I just want to get tags for my car. I come in here, try to get everything situated with my vehicle. I go into the assessor's office, said, hey, these are the things I own. And I told them these are the things I own. And some are for parts. And I still put them on there, unlike the other people you said. And they're on my 2010 list. And I don't own the mobile home. I never have.
That's not what you told me. You said you owned it. You paid. You wrote down, and I'll go find the paper, that you'd already paid $14,000 on the mobile home, and you got into it with your cousin, and you blew your away. You blew it away. You said, I'm not living here any longer. So you can say what you want to. I know what you told
me.
I know how I've assessed it.
This is for our decision to make, and I don't think that we should make this decision until we have Mr. Ulrich present before us to see his side of the story. If we're going to be putting taxes upon a gentleman that there's been a dispute over this, he may have proof that this gentleman owns it, or he may not have proof. I'm not going to make a decision on this situation where we have the state Internal Revenue Department of Revenue showing that this gentleman has several vehicles that he hadn't paid taxes on, and then we make a decision to abate something that he brings in and says that he hasn't. So I'm not going to make that decision today. I want to find out from whoever is going to end up having to try to pay the taxes on this whether they have a record of it or not.
Okay. The Department of Revenue, just talked about it, Danny. James, you've got your list. Does the Department of Revenue keep track of mobile homes?
Not on this vehicle list.
That's where I got my copy from, because they couldn't tell me if I owned it, but they could tell me that I did not own it. That's that copy that I gave you that came from the Department of Revenue.
That's what I'm looking at, and that's why I'm asking the question. And it's something Bob said a while ago got me thinking that direction. I think you said, Bob, we don't have anything that shows that he owns the mobile home. We don't have anything that shows that he doesn't own the mobile home.
Well,
is that right? Is this? Do you have this document? You do. I can see.
Actually,
does that say that?
Is we have something that shows that there was a title in Dean Ulrich's name, but that. Since then, the Missouri Department of Revenue does not have a record of a title issuing to anyone else. And that's what's supposed to be done when title changes. But can we say he's got a bill of sale, or he doesn't have a bill of sale for this a trailer from his cousin? No, I mean, I can't prove the negative, and neither can you. Maybe there's a bill of sale he has somewhere that he's not showing us. I don't know.
Mr. Paulson,
there's no way for you to know.
That's exactly the reason I said I couldn't make a judgment on this issue, isn't it? I mean, isn't that a fair assessment that I can't make a judgment on something we don't know about?
You can't say with certainty that he doesn't own it. You can only base whatever decision you come to on the evidence that you have before you today, and you haven't seen any evidence that he owns it other than the park person reporting that he had a trailer at that park, whether he owned it or not.
And that's
according
to state
statute. And James's statements that whatever between him and his cousin, I don't know what was said. That's the evidence you have. Other than that, you don't have any evidence that he owns the trailer. So if you want more evidence, if you think he might own the trailer, and it's up to you, gentlemen.
There was never any evidence that I ever was purchasing it, even from the person that assessed it, that wrote it on there and said that I was the owner of it.
Bob.
You know, there was no contract. There was nothing even through that. Somebody just writes it down there so I could write your name on there, send it in because I own a mobile home park, and say, well, you own it, so you need to pay the taxes on it. I don't. That's not fair.
I see you.
You mentioned the record. It says here showing Ulrich has the Department of Revenue has title.
Well, they said that one hadn't issued, but I see a Department of Revenue vehicle marine records as of 1-1 of 2006. And it says Dean and Christy Ulrich, name on title. Is that the mobile home, or am I looking at something
different?
There's
a number he told me you paid for it, had in it.
Okay.
So, in 06, Department of Revenue had that record.
That Ulrich owned it.
If should they not have a record that they still own it?
I'd have to look to see if they need to do a title on a mobile home, and I don't know that they do.
No, what I'm saying is, if Ulrich owned this in January of 06, as this shows, then that stays there at the state unless they sell it.
Right. And the state said that they don't have a record of any title issuing on the above manufactured home, which means they don't have any record of it having sold because they didn't get a new title. But if one's not required...
That's in my name, is what they're saying.
Sure, it's Jim's. So,
oh, that's fine.
It's making the rounds.
Oh, that's fine. Not a deal. I don't need it back.
I make a motion to table this issue until we have more evidence presented.
Okay.
What other evidence do you need for me to show that I don't own?
I'm not talking about you, sir. I've already heard enough to see that you're trying to avoid paying taxes all the way back to a previous date, and I want to find out from Mr. Ulrich if he has a bill of sale to you. Yeah, you're not going to present it. That is definitely, you're not going to present anything that is not in your benefit. So you haven't paid taxes on these other pieces of property. I'm going to have someone contact him before I make a decision on this and find out what the situation is. I'm not making a decision that we have made in the past and come to find out that people were lying to us and end up in a... every other taxpayer in this county having to pay somebody else's taxes because they found a way to beat the tax process.
Dan,
and so that's what I'm...
But I'm talking about paying 07s and 10s. So I missed, what, 05 and 06. That's already been apparently written off. But I'm needing to pay 07, but I can't. I'm not going to pay that with the mobile home on there. I'm not going to pay for my truck. I'm not going to pay for the other thing.
We'll make that decision and ourselves when we get enough evidence to make a decision.
I have a question for you.
I'll second the motion to table for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like us to go ahead and whatever discussion we got, if we've got...
Well, I've got a question. Bob, suppose Mr. Ulrich come back and says, I've got a deed, contract for deed. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What, do we then get involved with that, or we just say, go to court?
That would be between them, a contractual action. I would ask what ownership interest that this gentleman has, if there is a contract for deed, in the real estate. The person who owns the real estate, or, in this case, personal property, would owe the taxes.
But a contract for deed is not changing ownership.
No.
It's basically a rent to own.
once you satisfy the contract,
it's
the deed changes, and then you own it.
I think we're privileged to certain things from the Department of Revenue. On the ownership of the title, that's a confidentiality that the owner can request, like this gentleman could do a request to, with the Department of Revenue, and they would furnish whether or not he owned it or ever owned it. And I understood that it was no. But on Mr. Aldridge, all we can look up is this number, and it's not showing it like a valid number now. So it might be that you can request from the Department of Revenue whether Mr. Aldridge shows on the record if he is the owner now on the record.
But it doesn't show it as a valid number. It's his ownership now.
Well, on what we can look up VIN numbers, and we can look up like this number, and it doesn't show it a valid number.
But that's my request. Before I make a decision here, I would like to contact someone to contact, and if that's not a valid number, for some reason it's not. And if it's not a valid number, Mr. Ulrich may not own the number.
Yeah, I'm saying that they said that he did not own it. He could make that request. And Mr. Aldridge could call and request whether or not that showed that he was the owner of record. I know he can do that. I can't make that request for the who's the owner of the title. But possibly the commission might, if I can give you a number of the department, they might. I can make a phone call and see if you
can't they do it at the License Bureau?
They can't tell me.
The owner would have to ask for it.
How long are we talking about tabling? Until we contact Mr. Ulrich? Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I heard. I don't see any problem with that.
No, I mean, I'd like to get a hold of Mr. Ulrich. I mean, if he's going to get...
Yeah. Slammed for 3 years' worth of taxes, I think he better be contacted.
I think so, too. And I think a lot of other people will start shivering and shaking, going, my God, what are they fixing to do to me?
Okay.
Sounds like a 50 song.
Shall we?
Yeah.
How long will we table it?
Can we table this till? Are we going to do anything Friday?
Well, we need to get in touch with Dean Ulrich and say to him, find out he may have to hunt back through his records.
Let's just table it till 11:30 and see if we can't get a hold of him in the next hour and a half. I mean, and then if we don't get a hold of him, then we can pick the next time. Because I would like to deal with it.
I'd like to get her done.
So if
I'd like to get her done, but it doesn't seem it's been too big a rush for some people because it's fell all the way back to 2005. So
we actually, but we're not. Mrs. White's provided information that trailer's been split off his bill for 07 and he still hasn't paid it, according to this. Is this right? Here's an 07 tax bill that don't have the trailer on it, and I don't believe it's still been paid.
For who?
For this gentleman.
Yeah,
Is wrote
05 and 06. Was added on in, did you call the, do you want me to talk?
Sure.
Did you call the assessor's office in January of 07 and have
vehicles run
01 Ford, a 92 ski boat added on for 05 and 06?
I don't recall that. I might have. But
well, I was charged in January 12th of 07 for an 05 and 06 bill on a 91 Ford Ranger, and so I don't know. Usually when a customer does that, they're going to need to get tags, and if they've had a two-year tag, they've got to go back 2 years. I was charged on January 12th of 07 on an 01 Ford Ranger and a ski boat. I was charged for 05 and 06. They were both added on the same date.
Right, and in fact, I think that's, I said 06, and it must have been 07 because that's what I'm trying to pay. Is 07 is for the boat trailer, and the Ford Ranger, right?
That's what it was for 06 and 05 when you lived at the other trailer park.
What's current?
And I don't know how the mobile home got off of this for 06 that was in the court battle. But we evidently did it for you.
And in 06, here's unpaid bills, and it's got the three vehicles, the Ranger, the boat, and the trailer, on one bill, and then it's got a mobile home on the other bill, but it's the other mobile home. It's the first one, evidently. It's a different number.
Right. It's the one that went into the court battle, and he didn't turn it in. So we had to go with the mobile home part saying who owned it.
But I'm trying to pay 07, which is the Ford Ranger, the ski boat, and the boat trailer, the back taxes on that with the interest, and I'm trying to take care of that.
But you had to pay 08 and 09. I think you're not getting the full.
And I'll pay 08 and 09, but I didn't own anything in 08 and 09, and you still haven't told me what I owned because that wasn't part of the discussion.
You all have. Are you okay with setting your table at 11:30?
11:30 is fine.
I'll do that on the second, please.
Okay.
And so you all got a couple of hours, and
she's still not
going to. We'll see if we can.
Who's going to, just before you walk out, who's going to contact Mr. Ulrich?
Is it? I know who he is.
I don't know him.
But I don't know him. I would say hi.
You do.
So I have his phone number. I'll give you his cell phone number. And he works over at the Reed Springs
Botech.
That would be. Yeah.
And I'll call a partner and see if they can.
If you could, I mean, anything you could help, that would help get this resolved. So he shows.
Would you?
Okay, yeah, that's all my question. We can
good
go.
Good question. All right. Gila. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. We'll look at it again at 11:30.
If we have information.
And if we don't have enough info, we'll probably table it for Monday or something.
And
can give me a copy of the phone number, and I'll visit with him. Like I said, I know him to say hi, but I'll just ask him what kind of a deal this is.
You know him.
Okay.
That's in Reed Springs.
I believe... The next item in the list here is benefits experience. Well, welcome Vicki and John and Dixie. And
do you have apparently the copy of what he's saying that I did on 8-9?
Gregory was going to come in, which gives him to vote on that. But asking me to go along, he just wants to know if he can vote on these things. Oh, not bad.
Change over.
Yeah. These two. If he comes in, we can maybe pause, vote on that thing so he can go on.
That's what you need me on in the near future.
That's
not like I've got one extra. Copy right there, and then we can probably give him yours.
I'm the one looking at it. He won't show me. He keeps working on it.
I gave one to Rick.
Bob?
Right. It would just hurt because I get a title on it.
To hear the conversation. The reason I say that is
I've got a title.
There may be something legal that you need to know, and I would be on the phone with her.
I'll pay tax on that.
Whenever he explains
because I just got it.
No, I want you to go with. Yeah, bless you. When he calls, she calls Dean, and maybe something legal that he says that you that is of value to this commission.
My taxes for this year. I enlisted it.
I can probably use cell phone. My brother-in-law Jason is best friends with me.
Yeah.
So.
What she's on January 1st.
Got it.
Okay. This wasn't mine. This is Tammy Harris. This Brandy shocked me. I don't know what my name on that.
What are we talking about? What are you for? No, we're jumping. We'll start this one now.
Sheila.
We're going to move on, guys.
What
if you
I
can.
Said it all.
Hey, you, the microphone.
Right.
All right. I think we're done for that for now. And welcome, Akers and Hardy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You got some info for us here, it looks like.
John actually got some new information this morning, and so it was like he was waiting for it to come in, everything like that. So the last information that I'd give Dixie, and I believe she gave to you guys, it only had claims paid through May 31st, incurred through May 31st and paid through July 31st, but what we just handed you is actually incurred through August 31st, so this is the most up-to-date claims experience we have, and John's going to go through it with you.
Okay. All right. We'll just get right into it. As you can see, the page in front of you is the premium that had been billed through August 31st to the county. January through August was $1,015,800 to round it. The claims paid were $932,686. Okay, now that's pure dollars out in claims costs. That doesn't include any of their administrative costs. It doesn't include any of the insurance company's cost of doing business. So that gives you a pure medical loss ratio, as they call it, of 91.82%.
Okay. Excuse me if I can ask now, the premium billed is for the same period?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
Then there are some breakdowns that just go through to talk about how many people we have on the plan in the interest of time. I know you guys are pressed this morning, so I won't read that to you unless you have some questions on it. But it basically just gives a breakdown of the number of employees and then who has their spouse and children and so on and so forth on there. The next page gives you a month-by-month breakout of the actual claims data.
the paid claims, incurred claims. The difference between paid and incurred is basically the incurred claims are what was billed to the insurance company. Paid is what they actually wrote a check for. So there's discounts that they get from providers that are included in there. There's deductibles. There's coinsurance. There's things that your employees paid out of their pocket. And that's for the reason the paid claims is lower than the incurred.
My question is, on the front page, though, you use the bigger number of the two.
If you look at paid claims for medical and then add the paid claims for prescriptions, you'll see the total claims number of 932 is the same as on the front page.
So the 682 plus the 166, you're saying?
Yes, sir.
That adds up to the 932?
You got it.
Okay.
Any questions on that page?
Yeah, you said something I didn't grab about what the insured paid. Did you say something about that?
The incurred claims, if you'll notice, that number is 700, and let's just go with medical only, okay?
Uh-huh.
The incurred claims was 766,000. That means that's the total bill for the actual services.
I got
okay?
it. I've got it.
Okay?
I've got it.
All right. Moving on, there's a breakdown again in where your claims are coming from. You have far more employees on the plan than you have family members, so obviously you're going to see more claims in that area. We do have a few people with spouses where we've incurred some pretty significant claims. The cost per member per month for spouses on the second chart is $415 compared to $281 for employees. So we have some dependents who have had some pretty good-sized claims. When we get the renewal report, we'll have some more data kind of breaking down some more of that stuff. But that kind of gives you a feel for where we are. But then those, it's just kind of a different way of slicing and dicing and coming to the same numbers is what it comes down to. But just gives you a feel for where the claims are coming from. On the next page, it gives, again, a breakdown January through August of claims paid. And then premium billed in just a different chart. And then large claimants. And this is, you know, when we look at the renewal, and obviously we're looking for the renewal any day now. One of the things we always look at is large claimants, because you have an insurance policy inside your insurance policy. And what that means is for big claimants, they get to a certain point and then they don't charge you anymore as the county for those bills. It's called reinsurance.
Yeah. Now that has a specific number to it, like I think 1 year it was 10 or 1 year it was 20. It's kind of like taking the top and the bottom off.
I mean,
your small claims and your large claims, but you're taking, and that's a specific number of claims?
It's actually dollar value. In other words, when you have a large claim,
okay,
that when it gets to a certain point, then you don't have to pay anymore. It's just like reaching your out-of-pocket on your individual
insurance. You don't have a set number that you do that on. You have a dollar.
No, you do have a set.
Okay, I thought that's what I was wanting. Yeah. That's what I was needing to hear was
a claim over $100,000.
Okay.
Anything over the 100, the county doesn't get charged on the experience.
All right, and that doesn't make any difference if it's 10, 20, or whatever those. But anything over 100,000,
it's the one claim. It's the one
right,
person.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about if you had 10 people with $100,000 plus.
All of those 100,000, everything over that 100,000, each person would be basically reinsured. Yeah.
Okay, and I don't want to get too far off track because you're trying to explain something here, but there is a. I thought there was, like, if you have 10 people that have over $100,000 claim, there's not a specific number that if there's 20 people that doesn't apply.
No. And I think where you're headed, like with self-insured programs, they have what's called a specific and then an aggregate. There's two separate things. With your insurance policy here, any claim over $100,000, the meter stops running at $100,000.
All right.
And it doesn't matter how many claims you have.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. That's where I was headed. I thought there was a number.
Yeah. That's the reinsurance is per claimant, $100,000. That's it. Okay. We have some large claims that may or may not develop to where they hit that by the time they run the renewal numbers. We have a $92,000 claim you gentlemen can see on there, a couple of claims that are just under $50,000.
I got a question for you, John, on that.
Yes, sir.
Your time frame says from September 1st of 09 to it's 12 months above that. Is that because the claim started and still going on that's on this list, or is it just that's just the random date, the date range you chose?
Well, for this report, and I, you know, our friends at the insurance company chose the date. I didn't.
Okay.
But that being said, in fairness to you guys, because they haven't had your policy for a year, what they did was they backed up to September 1 so that if there's a $100,000 stop loss, it wouldn't be fair to only give you credit for 8 months or 9 months worth of claims data. So they backed it up to which is fair to the county. That's the way they should do it.
Okay.
So as you go through, you can see some of the large claimants and things going forward. So it is an improvement over the last time we sat in front of you as far as the loss ratio goes.
Right.
I don't want to get sugar plums dancing in your head. A 92% loss ratio still means you get an increase.
Right.
There are variables that come into play when the renewal comes in. Number one, they're going to blend this year's experience with last year's experience. And so usually they do that on about a 70-30 split, although until we get the actual calculation, we're not going to know that for sure. Again, the pooling, and that would be if these large claims do go over the 100,000, there'll be some things that are dropped out. One thing that we talked about earlier in this year, Mercy Health Plans has just entered into a contract. It's not done yet, but they have sold to Coventry.
Yeah.
And so now, and we really don't know on this renewal, we're right in the transition period, who's pulling the strings, whether it's Coventry, whether it's still the old Mercy people. So until we get the renewal, we're not going to know that. And like I said, we've asked for it for 10-1. Obviously, we're getting awful close to that, and we're just trying to, you know, see where we come out. But just letting you know, that's a variable. And then obviously updated experience, they're going to look at them, you know, the most updated data they can get, and this report may be what it is, or they may get another month. So let's hope they get another month and it gets better.
But, okay.
I got some questions for you here.
Yep. Go ahead.
The Mercy, just to let you know where I'm coming, what my thinking is, Mercy has not, there were some assumptions that I think during our discussions, there were some discussions about even chiropractic care. I was told that it wouldn't be affected, and I've had a lot of employees come to me and say, not even close to the same amount of doctors are being covered. We did pick up, I guess, a doctor in Forsyth. We lost a bunch in Branson, is what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
So the discussion is there's a lot more people upset about that now.
Okay.
And so I'm now, you know, we went to Mercy. I was in the charge of changing Mercy because it was going to be the best financial decision. But coverage-wise, I'm pretty open to even hearing, you know, switching back. And I hate to say that, but everyone went through that. But I wanted to throw that out there. When will we know renewal numbers?
We've asked for them 10-1.
Okay.
You know, now that being said, you know, we have to rely on them to give us the numbers. I can't guarantee you that from this standpoint, but we're pressing.
Okay.
You know, as far as those individual specific claim issues, I mean, obviously we'll run any one of those down that we can. If you guys want to look at other options, obviously we can re-engage with Cox, who had it. We can re-engage with Anthem. United has become a player in this marketplace that's, you know, somebody that historically we really didn't have. So there are some options. Those three options go through Cox, though, not St. John's. And so that's obviously a big decision is you know, which network do you use? And that's, unfortunately, there's not an insurance program out there that has both those hospitals. They're both great hospitals, but you can't get one that goes to both.
Okay. So. I've heard just a tiny amount about your chiropractic comment. Has there been any work or comments to Mercy that we're not pleased with that? How about bringing some back? Is that a crazy thing to say to them?
I wasn't aware that there were chiropractors.
The doctors were supposed to be talking to Mercy. That's what I was told, that the doctors were going to make connection with Mercy directly to see if they can't get, you know, work it out, the coverage directly with Mercy. I didn't come this way. I just, you know, it's the patient going to the doctor saying, or the doctor's office trying to get a hold of Mercy directly.
Right. And from that standpoint, a lot of it just comes down to money. I mean, it comes down to the reimbursement contract the insurance company has.
That's why they don't take it.
Right. Right. And so, but yes, I mean, if you guys can give me specifics, if you can make us aware, we can at least get with Mercy, say, hey, we'd like you to reach out from the other direction to call the doctors to see if they can get them in.
Right.
There's no guarantee they can, but we can certainly do that.
That's my thought, that we should ask you all to contact Mercy, and that we've got this issue.
Right. I can also do a note of one of them I know of.
Okay. Yeah, because they have a contracting department. That's what they do.
Jim's concerned strong enough. He's brought this up. Mercy, if I was Mercy, I'd want to know that, hey, it's serious enough that
right.
you're even considering yeah. changing, and yeah. that's a huge thing. So
sure.
maybe it would motivate them to do something to help.
Well, we expect to be back in front of you shortly. I mean, as soon as we can get that renewal, obviously I've got to have time to pour through it and, you know, validate the numbers, try to make, you know, get heads or tails of it. But as soon as I right. can do that, we'll definitely be back with you to get a decision on how to move forward.
Right. And we had a situation that happened to us previous years. I'm not going to go into dates, where we had a time constraint that came into effect in this situation. And so I don't want to end up into late October, November, and try to make a judgment on we've got a large increase here or we're considering changing, and so this other company has to bring something in, and they know at that point this is all a September issue, basically, and at that point they know that you're something's not right. So you end up with a premium that is different than what it might be if you did it right now. Mm-hmm. That's what that's just business.
Well, and I mean, last year we were facing a 6 to 8% increase, I believe.
I think that's what it started at. It came down to 4.
Came down a little bit, but that's why we changed.
Right.
Now, if I'm doing my math here, I'm thinking 15 plus.
I would not disagree with that.
So if I changed for 6 to 8, why wouldn't I look to change for 15 plus percent?
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that, you know, we'd get a better rate from somebody else, but and it looks like there was two specific months that just really hit us hard. If I'm looking at the claimant months, it looks like February and it looks like May were very expensive months for the county. That's where we really went upside down when it came to premium versus claims. There's a third month in there. It looks like April was close, but I mean, because if you look at June, July, and August, ratio-wise, we're in good shape.
You know, and the key is, too, I mean, the underwriter theoretically is not just looking at last year and adding the numbers. Theoretically, they're supposed to look at what happened or what they perceive is going to happen in the coming year.
Right.
If some of those issues have resolved themselves, then they're going to price based on what they think is in place for this year, not so much looking in the rearview mirror.
Okay.
But we just don't know until we know.
Right.
And so that's part of the discussion. I agree, and to Danny's concern, 10-1 is the earliest you can get a January 1 renewal. As soon as we get it, we'll be over with you guys, and then, you know, you guys can make a decision on going forward and how to process that. Usually what we can do, it usually takes 3 weeks, roughly, to go out to the marketplace. You know, if 11-1, we had numbers back from not only your current carrier, which we can look at, and who knows, maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised with what they come back with. I'm not going to hold my breath, but, you know, we'll see what it is. Once that happens, then we can, you know, obviously get out, get into the marketplace, get you competitive offers, and then, you know, in that standpoint, then you have to make tough decisions. They involve network. They involve, you know, all those issues. But yes, I think we're in good shape to get you the numbers in a timely fashion.
Okay. We had Vicki has heard me brag on her before, and
oh no,
years past, whenever she had, I think there was a, we asked you to go back out and find us some lower numbers, and just as we did last year, but this was in an earlier, and you got, I think you had 4%, you got knocked off of it or something like that.
Right.
And so whenever we got into the competitive part of it, they decided other than lose us, they would bring it down. I don't want to get into that time constraint where she was rushing around at that point. Save us 4%, hoorah on that. But it could be a different situation with the way the market is now.
Just to, I mean, and hitting that again, Danny, I think, you know, as long as I can get back on the agenda here promptly, whenever we get the renewal numbers, assuming the insurance company performs and gets them to us, then we should be in plenty of time to be able to negotiate that, get it in place. I mean, obviously, you guys have to have time to educate your employees and tell them all about, you know, a new program, if that's what you do, and or have time to negotiate back, you know, the first round, as you said. I mean, you get the numbers in, and then the real fun starts. And that's so yes, we should have plenty of time to go through that process right now.
I expect to have it next week. I mean, I guess the first is Friday,
and I don't know if they're going to hit Friday, but they're working on it because I even called, you know, last night and said, where's my renewal? So we should get back to November.
Okay.
So pretty good chance we're going to be around next week, so 24 hours, hopefully, or they're in that market, we can get right with you.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, we'll call you as soon as we've got it and let you know where we're at.
Just one last thing. Write off. When a hospital writes off something, so sometimes they do, is that not true?
Sure.
Are those affecting this at all? I mean, these are numbers that were applied or billed, is that correct?
The number that really matters to you is what they paid.
What they paid.
Okay. And so the hospital's not going to be inclined to write off anything that an insurance company's going to pay, I can tell you that.
Right.
Now the balance that maybe the employee owes, their deductible or some of those things, could be written off, but it really won't impact your insurance plan.
Gotcha. Because so the paid is what and that's what we're dealing with right now.
You got it.
Gotcha. Okay. Perfect.
Okay. That's basically it, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean,
that's the whole.
You made the presentation, and we've got until Friday, and then you're going to get the numbers and get back with us, and we're going to have to face an angry bunch of employees with a...
Yes.
Unless we have a big surprise. And hopefully Christmas comes early.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
You're going to hold your breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not holding it that long.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I'm going to recess this second. I'm going to see a gentleman just walk by.
Okay. Take a couple-minute recess and come back on some other things.
Wait a minute.